Good morning, Russell.
Because you've got experience in the House, what do you think is the biggest challenge that perhaps voters don't really quite understand about Parliament and the realities of sending someone to Parliament?
I guess a couple of things. One is it's been increasingly dysfunctional, more and more bitter and partisan, yet the way Parliament ought to work and could work is much better, where we find common ground much more often between the parties, because there are some things that we agree on. And I think for a lot of Canadians, why they get turned off is the bickering and the name-calling and all the rest of that. And it's gotten worse. Associated to me getting in, but over the last 11 years, I've noticed that when you try to find more of that common ground, it's difficult, increasingly difficult. So one of my hopes is that when we get out of this campaign, because the country faces some big questions, and we have to deal with climate change, we have First Nations issues that we've got to get through, that Parliament has to serve Canadians better. The other point, I guess, is that Parliament is very much its own environment and culture, and it takes a little bit of time to figure out how to make it work and how to get enough relationships going that when you have a problem trying to get some funding or trying to help a constituent out, those relationships really matter. The ability to try to get on the TV and the news matters as well. And that's been a learning curve for sure over the last little while.
So you've got the record to run on, at least. So what would you say are a couple of things that you can point to and say, these are things I've done in my time?
Well, despite being in opposition and despite these last 4 years where the Conservatives were in a majority, we were able to get more support, more funding into this riding than any other opposition riding in BC and more than most of the government ridings as well, because the people around the Northwest work very hard in putting their proposals together and have very critical needs and infrastructure and whatnot. So we've been successful in lobbying even what I'd say is sometimes a hostile government to get things done. We also in the Northwest are increasingly important to the national conversation, which was a real priority of mine. 10, 11 years ago, we weren't much on the map, weren't talked about too often, certainly nationally. And one of my objectives was to make sure that everybody knew where Skeena Bulkley Valley was and that things that mattered to us also mattered to the government of the day and the broader public. And while we're not all the way there yet, I think we're certainly much more relevant than we were a decade ago.
At the same time, you've also got the neighboring riding with Prince George, Peace River, now Northern Rockies as well included in there. And the two have, I guess, some shared interests.
Oh, very much.
From the point of view of LNG. But at the same time, you've got Fort St. John who wants to get that LNG out to market. But at the same time, you're standing there on the other side of that political divide saying, we don't necessarily want this to happen. How does the party navigate economic interests, industrial interests, First Nations interests, and environmental interests, but at the same time figure out a way to grow the economy, to provide jobs for a part of the country that jobs are sometimes hard to come by?
Well, I think this is one of the great mistakes that the Harper government has made, is that they somehow see these things as opposed, that growing the economy and respecting First Nations and keeping the environment protected are opposed to one another. And in my view, and I think this is a view shared by more and more Canadians, is that if you want to have a prosperous country, you have to do a couple things. One is to make sure your projects don't make irreparable damage, like Enbridge Northern Gateway would with a bitumen oil spill. And also think about the long-term economic impacts that increasingly over the last 10, 15 years, Canada's become a country only interested in raw export of wood, oil, minerals, you name it. And that's not a formula for prosperity. That drives you down the scale. So throughout BC, I tour quite a bit, and I find much, much more common ground between British Columbians than I do opposition. And I think a question like LNG is a good one, because we can find some common space here to say, can projects be designed well? They can't be put in damage salmon habitat, for example. Can they be done with First Nations in agreement? And that's possible as well. And they have to be done in a way that's actually in Canada's interest. China's going to look out for China, and they're doing fine doing that. I want a Canadian government that looks out for Canada and Canadians. And recently, it seems like we're just selling off the ship for the lowest bid, and we got to do a lot better than that if we want to sustain the kind of quality of life that we have in this country and have built up over a couple of generations.
I'm speaking with Nathan Cullen. He's the NDP candidate for Skeena Bulkley Valley. Mr. Cullen, as you're probably all too aware, one of the things that's really dominated discussion over the last few days is the issues happening around the Syrian refugee crisis. I happened to stumble across this article from an English newspaper in 1938, and it was about how England should stem the tide and basically not take in as many Jewish refugees from Germany.
Yeah.
As you read that article, you could take out the word Jewish refugees and put in Syrian refugees. A lot of the
haunting.
Yeah, it is haunting.
Yeah.
Certainly the NDP have come out and called for more refugees to be allowed into the country. How do you reconcile that with the fact that the NDP seems to have a stance that it's not about military action, whereas many military experts as well and intelligence experts say, look, military action is required in that part of the world to get at the root of the problem, whether that's ISIS or Assad?
Right. And I was in the region a little more than a year ago, and Turkey, for example, who's taken well over 1 million refugees from Syria, was pleading with Canada not for a couple of fighter jets, which has been our contribution so far, basically, but for help with this massive wave of refugees, which had been coming for years before ISIS even was a term that we knew, because of Assad and because of the way that he was oppressing his own people. And that's the vast majority of refugees we're seeing flooding into Europe and all the tragedies we're seeing as people desperately try to flee, not just Syria, but other countries. So our argument has been from day one, Canada has an incredibly important role to play. And it is just patently false to suggest that the military contribution that has happened so far is somehow the fix. It obviously isn't. There's much more that we need to be doing. And I'm hearing this from across the so-called political spectrum, Russell, from very conservative Christian church leaders on the certainly more conservative and desperately asking me how they can help do more because they're frustrated as they try to sponsor refugees from the region, that it has been nearly impossible to do so. And I think the reason the Harper government has lost so much credibility on this is that they've been doing a bad job for years. We've pleaded with them just to even get the number, right? They've made commitments and haven't met them. And Canada has a role. And you see it now increasingly from Canadians, both here in the Northwest and across the country, that they see us wanting to do more. They believe that is the role for Canada. And to simply say the military is going to be the only thing that solves this, I think is just insensitive and false.
One last thing I want to talk to you about, and certainly it's been a big focus in your particular riding, is the Assembly of First Nations have identified, I think, 50-some ridings across Canada that they say if Aboriginals turned out in greater numbers, it could affect the outcome of the election. If an NDP government is what we're looking at on October 20th, what do you think will be the thing that's different about an NDP government as it relates to Aboriginal people and taking it beyond talk and promises to real action?
Right. The first place you start is from a place of respect and not hostility. The federal government has spent hundreds of millions of dollars fighting Aboriginal people in court and has lost 183 consecutive Supreme Court decisions on rights and title land. So start from a place of acknowledgement and respect, nation to nation. That's what Tom Mulcair has talked about and has held more conversations on this topic than any other, because it's actually beyond just reconciling and improving our relationship with First Nations people and the quality of life that we hope for all Canadians. It actually is to the betterment of the entire country, as we were talking about before, energy or resource development. If the current Conservative government sees people as enemies of the state and foreign-funded radicals, as they've called them, then where do you think you're going to get to? You're not going to get progress. You're going to get conflict. First Nations seek to develop their communities, seek employment for their people, as does any people, any community. And they have so much that they want to do with this country and for this country, yet not with a government in Ottawa who is hostile to their interests. So concrete things. We've obviously talked about showing respect and needing to get into the missing and murdered Aboriginal women and calling that inquiry. Second, to have a nation-to-nation relationship so we can settle questions on the land, so that we can have a clear path and certainty for companies looking to do business here. But for the life of me, for the last 11 years, 10 years since Harper got in, I just don't think they get it. And I don't mean to be glib, but I've worked with a lot of conservatives and tried to walk them along, introduce them to people, bring them to the territories and all the rest of that. And for all of that, my efforts have failed. They simply still don't get it and see this as an opposition thing rather than trying to work together for the betterment of the country and the region.
Nathan Cullen is running for the NDP in the Skeena-Bulkley Valley riding. And, of course, we've invited all the candidates from Northern BC ridings to join us here on Daybreak. And we certainly want to make sure you make an informed decision when you vote in October. So stay tuned for the balance of the next week or so. Nathan Cullen,